This morning's message is brought to us by Will Strumpstead.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning that we get to come and worship you and to receive your grace through your word. And I pray that you'll open our minds and our hearts to your word, the Lord. Your word is truth. Sanctify us in your truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, and help us to draw near to you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us as we receive the words of Christ. And in his holy name I pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today comes from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 16. Would you turn with me in your Bibles if you have them? And I'm going to read it. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees too, because he's a hired hand and he doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So I'm going to start off with a little bit of a story. Look. A long time ago, there was this couple, and they lived in the city, and they decided that they were going to move out of the city and start a farm. But they didn't have any experience farming. They didn't have any kind of a plan. All they had was money and ambition. And they knew that they wanted to have sheep. They'd grown up seeing pictures of these sheep peacefully grazing in the grass and thought that that was the best thing ever. And so, fueled by that idea of these sheep being automatic lawnmowers, they went out and bought 5 sheep. And when they went home, the couple let the sheep loose in their yard, and figuring that these peaceful animals would never get into any trouble. And it's probably important that you all know that this couple didn't know the first thing about caring for sheep either, and they didn't do any research, and they didn't build a fence, they didn't buy a dog, and they didn't know the first thing about controlling sheep. And after letting the sheep loose, they went in the house to finish up doing a couple chores and whatnot. A couple hours later, they went to check in on their 5 furry investments. And to their horror, they found the sheep in a little bit of trouble. One of the sheep had decided to start eating their garden. And the second had got his head stuck in a culvert and didn't really seem to mind that he was stuck in a culvert. And the third had grazed a perfectly straight line into the neighbor's field, and by the time the owner saw him, he was almost to the other side. The fourth was stuck on his back, legs flailing in the air, and couldn't turn himself around. And the fifth and final sheep, and the owners had no idea how he did this, got stuck up in a tree and was peacefully munching on some leaves, content as could be. Now, I'm not really telling this story to make fun of the owners so much, but to show you about the absolute helplessness of the sheep. These poor creatures never stood a chance. They didn't have any direction. They had no sense of what to do, where to go. They were completely unable to help themselves, unable to save themselves from any trouble that they got themselves into. And these helpless, pitiful creatures are what Jesus so often compares us to. And that's not meant to be an insult, I don't think, but it's meant to humble us. We can't do anything on our own. We can't save ourselves. And when we do, we end up in a little bit of a mess, a little bit of trouble. And everything we do, no matter how good or helpful we think it is, it's no better than those five sheep that I just told you about. Not much good and not very helpful. Isaiah 53:6 says this about sheep and about us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and how true that is. We would rather look after our own troubles than loving our neighbors and looking after their worries and troubles. And we all choose our own desires over the will of God. And we have all sinned. And I think in one way or another, we all probably can relate to one of those five sheep. Think about that first sheep, eating the garden, taking things that isn't rightfully his. And how often do we do that? We take credit that isn't ours. We take things that aren't ours for the taking. Or perhaps we're like the second sheep with our head stuck in the culvert, completely satisfied in our ignorance and not knowing any of the trouble any of our neighbors are in. And some of us still, like the third sheep, eating through the neighbor's field, setting our sights on what we want and our desires, not caring who it might hurt, who it might affect. Or some of us, like the fourth, stuck on its back, completely helpless and completely hopeless, without any means of escape. And a few of us still are like that last sheep, sitting in a tree, perfectly content, watching all the trouble the other four have gotten in, thinking to himself, at least I don't have it as bad as them. These are just a few small examples of the ways that we fail God and we fail our neighbors. And none of us can escape that fact. Isaiah makes it clear all of us are like sheep. We've gone astray and looked to our own way. And I don't know if some of you read the title of the sermon, but you're probably wondering, why in the world would anyone want to be a sheep then? If we're these helpless creatures stuck in sin, looking after our own desires. But the rest of that chapter in Isaiah 53, has the answer for us. It speaks of the great shepherd who bore our sins, the one who was afflicted on our behalf, the perfect and spotless Lamb of God. We have something that those sheep in our story didn't have, but desperately needed. We have a shepherd. A good and gracious shepherd named Jesus. Our lives and our sheepish actions are nothing without the shepherd. What kind of sheep can fend for itself? There isn't one. What sheep can guide themselves to green pasture? None. What sheep can save themselves from the jaws of wolves? Again, none. Sheep are completely dependent on the work of the shepherd. And they are some of the most dependent creatures that God has made. And that's what he compares us to. We aren't self-sufficient people, not in our salvation, not in our works, not in any way. We need Christ. And that is why he compares us to sheep. That's why he calls us his sheep, because we are reliant completely on him. Just as a sheep cannot survive without a shepherd, we cannot survive without Christ and his work. Through his life, death, and resurrection, we are brought into his flock. and now we are in his care. In this way, we're supposed to be his sheep, completely reliant on his care and provision, completely reliant on his work of salvation. Think to that call to worship again, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He leads me to green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. That passage is all of the things. Not all of the things, but a good list of the things that God has done for us. And in John 10, we read more about the work of this great shepherd. He's the door of the pasture. In that time, pastures were kind of walled in with a stone wall, and they didn't have any gates. And the shepherd would sit in that gate, or stand in that gate, or lay in that gate, day and night, making sure that nothing came in and hurt the sheep. And if anything wanted to hurt the sheep, had to go through the shepherd. And just like this shepherd, Jesus watches out for us, day and night, day in, day out, year after year, month after month, lifetime after lifetime. Christ watches out for us and guards us from any threats to his precious flock. Thieves and robbers who seek to lead the sheep a different way. Now this. Thieves and robbers who seek to lead the sheep a different way. Wolves who seek to devour. And horrible servants who run at the first sign of danger. None of these are now a threat, because our hope is in the Good Shepherd. And now in John 10, the thieves, the wolves, the hired servant, all of these are warnings to us about things that we ought to be aware of. Just because Christ says we are to have life abundantly doesn't mean that we are to have life easily. The first, the thieves, they come to kill, steal, and destroy, but not by force. They don't come in and kidnap the sheep. Look at what it says. They come and they try and take the sheep by their words. But the sheep don't listen. They know their shepherd. And this is a warning to us to be aware of false teachers and those who would teach a gospel apart from the promises of Christ. Beware of those who claim that our works can get us to heaven, because we're just sheep. We can't do anything. And in verse 10, we read again that Christ came and died, that we might have abundant life in him. These thieves have nothing to offer us. They have nothing that is so great that it can grant us abundant life in Christ. And this doesn't mean that we're going to be rich and prosperous. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel to you. It doesn't mean that everyone who follows Christ is going to get rich. But it means that he will provide for our needs. And so much more than we could ever hope for. More than we could ever deserve. Everything that we have is an abundance from God. And every breath that we take is more than we deserve. And eternity with Christ is more great than anything we could ever dream of. That's the abundance that Jesus is speaking of in this passage. Not material possessions, not worldly gain, not power, not influence, but eternity with him and hope in his promise. And the hired hand in these verses is a warning to us as well. That hired man is anything in our lives that we have put in the place of Christ. This could be anything, anything at all that we put above Christ. Money, relationships, politics, our jobs. And none of these things are worth hoping in, because none of these things can save you. And in that passage, when those things are faced with the slightest inconvenience, they flee and they take your hope that you've placed in them with them. And none of these things can save you. None of these things are worth your hope. And ultimately, none of these things last. Money will disappear. Relationships will end. Politics, I'm not going to get into that. And our jobs, eventually we'll all retire. None of these things last, and none of these things can save us. None of these things are worth our hope. Our hope is in Christ. These things are a cheap imitation of the shepherd, and once they are gone, because one day they will be gone. Is our hope shattered? Or is our hope grounded in Jesus Christ and in his work? But it's important to note that through these warnings, Christ is still our shepherd, and he is still watching out for us. Another warning is of the wolves, the ones that take the hired hand by fear. These are the works of the enemy, and they seek to pull you away. They seek to scatter you. They seek to destroy the church that Christ has built. And these are the things of the world. These are the things of the enemy. These are the divisions we make amongst ourselves that don't really make that much of a difference. And these things, too, the shepherd guards us from. And he promises us in that last verse, in verse 16, that there will be one flock and one shepherd under Christ. There's one church under him. This great shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep listen to his voice in all that he says, in his promises of salvation, and in his commands of diligence. And you really cannot have one without the other. Now, this isn't to say that when he commands our diligence, that we put our hope in that diligence, for that too is just a hired hand. But his commands are meant for our benefit. And his teachings are all for our benefit. His promises are good. And when Christ tells us to do good, and it's not to save us, his promises are for our good. And again, our hope isn't in the doing of things, but in the done, in what Christ has done for us on the cross, but what Christ is doing through us will continue until the day we go back to be with him. The work of salvation, our righteousness, and even our relationship with God is completely one-sided. It comes from God down to us. By his means and by his work, it comes to us. Not by our preparation, not by our commitment to him even, but in his work that was done on the cross and delivered to us. This is delivered through the word of God, and that we learn of his promises and the hope that we have in Christ. This is delivered through baptism, and the old man is buried with Christ, and the new man is raised again from those waters. And through communion, we are forgiven and unified with Christ for our entire lives. And just like the earthly shepherd uses a staff and a dog and a fence to guide his sheep to safety, so our great shepherd uses these things to guide us and bring us to salvation and life in him. He is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Now, back to those five reckless sheep at the beginning of my sermon. All of them were helpless. All of them were hopeless. And before we knew Christ, we were in that same situation, in need of someone to guide us, in need of someone to care for us, in need for someone to save us. And we have a great shepherd, one who lays down his life for us, that we might be his. And his promises are true, and his commands are just. And he is the one who guides us to green pastures and restores our souls. And that's why I want to be his sheep. That's why I want to be under Christ for my entire life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son, the good and true shepherd, to guide us and lead us through our lives. I thank you for your promises of salvation and for your Son's perfect work for us on the cross. I pray that as we leave this place, that we would follow you as your sheep, listening to your commands and doing your will. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your teaching. And I pray that all of us here will put our hope in you above all things, Lord. Put our hope of salvation in you above all things. In your holy and righteous name I pray. Amen.